Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community.
How's everybody doing this morning? Man, I am excited to have the opportunity again to bring the message to you, but I just wanted to give you kind of an update of what's been going on in our youth group the past couple weeks. If you talk to any of our students, I think they would testify to this, but the past 3 weeks, man, we've been experiencing some amazing times in the presence of the Lord. I think 2 weeks ago, we had a specific message, and we gave a response time, and we dismissed all our students. It was time to go. We went a little bit over our time, and I just want to tell you, man, if you have students in here and you're the parents of them, your kids are going after it. We had students staying at these altars after we dismissed for about 15, 20 minutes, just seeking the face of Jesus. So I want to tell you, these kids that are coming in are experiencing the presence of God. And then this year, we set a goal of $5,000 for Speed the Light, if you remember. And I just want to give you an update on this. Our students have been tearing it up. We just broke over $3,000 so far for Speed the Light, for missions. Isn't that awesome? Our students have been doing an incredible job. But this morning, I want to get into the Word. One of the things I'm most passionate about in life, maybe you can see it from being on the platform, is worship. So this morning I've entitled my message, True Worshippers. Everybody say True Worshippers. And I want to ask this question: why is worship important? I think that comes across, well, why do we need music in church? Why is worship so important? Why do we take 25, 30 minutes of our time just to sing a few songs? But some things that I've come to learn about worship is this. Worship, for one, gets our attention off of us, and it puts our attention on the God and Jesus. Amen? It does. No matter what situation you're going through, it gets our attention off of us and onto Jesus. I remember when I was interning in Florida with my master's commission, my pastors would always tell this story, Pastor Dan and Pastor Nancy. When they first got married, they had a lot of marriage problems, and they would argue all the time and things like that. And she told this one story of one Sunday they got into this massive argument and in the car going to church. And they come into worship and worship's going. And Pastor Dan, they weren't pastors at the time. They were just attending a church. And they were worshiping together. And Pastor Dan's mad. He's got his hands in his pockets. Miss Nancy's telling this story. And Miss Nancy's just there with her hands up worshiping God. And she said that Pastor Dan leaned over to her and says, "How can you be worshiping like that right now? You know what you just called me a few minutes ago in the car and all these mean things that we're saying?" And Miss Nancy said this. She looked over at Pastor Dan and said, "Because I'm not here for you, I'm here for God." And she got her attention off of herself and off the current situation that she was on and put her attention on Jesus. Second thing why worship is important, it becomes a lifestyle for us. I think for me, something that I've adopted is worship isn't just a 25-minute time we come on Sunday morning to sing a few songs and lift our hands, but it becomes a lifestyle in everything we say and everything we do, in our actions and our attitude and the way we treat one another and the way we live our life for Jesus. Why is worship important? God desires it, ultimately. Number four says in the Bible, we were created to worship. Just four things that I've come to realize why I find worship important. And one of my top prayers that I've kind of adopted over the past couple months for our youth group and for church is just that our church would be continually growing and improving in our expressions of worship. During our times of worship, that we wouldn't stay in a place where we're at from last week or something, but we would always be continuing to step into something new, that we would be desiring to go somewhere deeper in the presence of God. So today I just want to share a few thoughts with you on worship from Scripture. I'll have a good bit of Scripture coming up on the screen this morning. But then we're going to hit three qualities of how we can worship Jesus. So kind of our key verse for today, it may be in your bulletin that you have, but it's found in John chapter 4, verse 23. I'm reading from the NIV this morning from this verse, if you want to turn there. But it says this: "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers," everybody say true worshipers, "will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks." That's where we're headed today. That's where we're gonna land. So as we kind of dissect this verse, I want to bring attention to this. Notice that the Father isn't just seeking worshiper, or sorry, notice the Father is seeking worshipers. That's what he's seeking in this verse. He's not seeking the best communicators. He's not seeking the people that can talk on a platform in front of people that do amazing jobs. He's not talking or looking for people that can sing the best. He's not talking about people who have tons of money, who's the richest in the church. He's not looking for that. For you youth, he's not looking for who has the most Instagram followers or social media people. He's not looking for the best of the best. Instead, the Father is seeking true worshipers. And you may say this morning, well, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I'm not a worshiper. I'm just not good at it. Maybe we've thought that before. I know I have. I'm not a good worshiper sometimes. When I was growing up, I thought that. But that's a wrong statement and a wrong idea, because we are all worshipers. It's what we were created to do. Worship is this: simply worshiping is showing what we value and what is worth something to us. If you go to a sporting event, who likes sports? Yeah, football season's about to start. But if you go to a sporting event and love that team, if you're like a crazy fan, what do? You celebrate when you're there. If you go early, you're gonna tailgate like we're gonna do this afternoon. You scream. Has anybody like ever painted their face or their belly at a football game? No one? Austin, you haven't? No? Don? Don has. We all know Don. Don's got a big old thing right here on his belly. Yeah. No. So we do that when we go to sporting events. But if you go to a concert, what do? You interact with what's going on. You don't just sit there like a bump on a log. You pay good money for good seats at a concert. You interact with what's going on. So as Jess throws up these images on the screen, you'll see as these, this first one, go ahead and throw it up. What do you see going on? Go to the next one. That's my favorite college football team, Gators. Go Gators, Florida. Okay, go to the next one. You see all these passionate things, right? Next one. So I had to put this one here for job security because Pastor Steve and Robin are Denver Broncos fans. But then I was like, I'm pretty safe right now. So I put that up. Jacob Sawyer made that. So that's ultimately who Pastor Steve and Robin root for. But what do you see in these pictures? You can clear that off. But what do you see in these pictures at these events? I notice passion. I notice love. I notice enthusiasm. I notice worship. And I notice admiration for what was taking place. That's what I kind of took out of those pictures we just saw. So I want you to notice this. Notice in these pictures, we see good worship. We see all qualities and expressions of good worship. But the problem is this, is that it's to a bad God. And I don't want to pick on any artists or sports team, because I like those artists and I like those sports teams, but they're not good gods. We have good worship sometimes to the wrong God. And as we look at that, the challenge and hard thing here in church is sometimes we have the opposite. In the world, as they throw it up, in the world we may have good worship to a bad God, but in church we have bad worship to a good God. Think of that. It's deep. I know it may be tough to hear, but in the world, we may have good worship to a bad God, but in church, we have bad worship to a good God sometimes. Just a few minutes ago, we had some songs that we reflected on, and we had times of expression in our worship. But I want to ask these questions. Did you experience the presence of God at that time? Did you experience the presence of God as we were singing, as we were surrendering to him? With the words on the screen, or was it just words on the screen? Was it Christian karaoke to you? Did you worship God for who he is and for what he's done in your life? That's what I think about when worship comes up. And as we look, Jesus talked about this problem and quoted it from an Old Testament prophet named Isaiah, found in Matthew 15, verses 8 through 9 in the New Living Translation. And it says this: "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. For they teach man-made ideas as commands from God, and their worship is a farce." So I had no idea what that word meant at first, so I Googled it, did the definition, and it says this: farce is simply this, a comic, dramatic work using buffoonery and horseplay, and typically including crude characterization in ludicrously improbably situations. That's a pretty big statement there, that their worship is a farce. And this morning, I want to attempt to do this, and I want to attempt to prepare our hearts, even myself, to express our worship for God even better than we ever had before. Let's just take a moment as we pray. Jesus, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this opportunity we have to come into your house and to worship you and to hear from you. God, I pray in these next few moments that you would help us to open up our hearts and hear what you have to say. God, speak to us. Let us worship you for who you are. In Jesus' name, everybody said. So as we dive into this morning, we're going to be looking at three attributes of a true worshiper. The scripture we're going to look at is found in Psalms chapter 100, verses 1 through 5. And as we dive in it, it says this: shout for the Lord for joy, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Man, when I read that, I get pumped up. I get excited. That's awesome. And so this morning, since God is seeking true worshipers, our desire is we want to give God the honor. We want to give God the worship and glory that he is due, right? Right? Yeah? So for some of you today, you will be able to connect with some of these qualities, maybe. You're already applying them. But for others today, maybe you'll learn how to worship God in new ways. So my first point this morning is this: true worshipers worship with awe. Everybody say awe. So like when you see a new baby and you're like, awe. When you see my baby Finley, you're like, oh, she's so cute, right? True worshipers worship with awe. I love the way the writer to the Hebrews said this in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 through 29. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. So we see in this verse, this is an acceptable way to worship God. The psalmist says in Psalms 95, verse 6, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. And when we take a second to think about the God we serve, we can't help but respond in that form. When we think about God and all that he's done in my life, I can't help but respond with that form. When we looked at scriptures all throughout the Bible on worshiping Jesus, the wise men, they bowed before Jesus when he was born. They've never seen him before, only heard of him before. And what did they do when they saw him? They bowed down. In the Gospel of Luke, it says how Simon Peter fell to his knees when he met Jesus. Scripture says, we all know this, one day, what? Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. So today, true worshipers worship with awe. And I want to ask this question: when is the last time you've been stunned and shaken by the presence of Jesus? Think about that. When is the last time you've been stunned or shaken by the presence of Jesus? Because I think too many times, even for myself, we can go into services so many times and it becomes routine and we become complacent. And it just becomes something that we do as a schedule, and we lose our focus on why we're doing it. I know for me, going to camp growing up, that's where I was called in the ministry. And I remember camp for me is the places where I've had some of the most God encounters in my life. It's where I was called in the ministry. It's where I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And for me, those are the times that I look back and I'm like, man, that's when I was stunned and shaken by Jesus. But then I asked myself, okay, well, what about now? When's the last time have I been shaken or stunned by the presence of Jesus? And I've been telling our students this, but I don't think it has to be just a once a year occurrence. I know it doesn't have to be. I tell our students, you don't have to wait till camp comes around just to experience Jesus, because you can have a better experience with God in your bedroom than you can at camp. You don't have to wait till Sunday morning comes around to experience the presence of Jesus when we sing a few songs, but you can experience the same presence of Jesus wherever you're at in your daily life. When you understand who God is, you can't help but respond right. When you understand who God is, you can't help but respond right. And I love this idea, and I love this fact that we don't serve a dead God, we don't serve a made-up God, and we don't serve a religious idea. But I'm so thankful that we serve a living and an active God, aren't you? Man, if you don't get excited about that, I don't know But I'm so thankful we serve a living and active God. We don't just worship an idea. We worship and we serve something that is alive and that's desiring to pursue relationship with us. And for me, I remember when Abby and I had the baby 5 months ago, almost 5 months ago, and I told Pastor Steve this, but everything that we went through with Finley, with the NICU and her being born, basically stillborn and everything, and seeing just the power of God move. For me, and I've always been raised in the Assemblies of God Church, so I've always believed in the power of prayer. I've always believed in miracles. I've always believed in the power of Jesus, but I never saw it firsthand in my life. I never had the experience for me to make it real or make it a connection for me. And then when everything happened with Finley and my wife and everything that took place, man, it took my spiritual level just to a whole new level because I could now talk about and I could now know what people were saying when they experienced the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God work in miraculous ways. So for me, I had no reason not to worship Jesus, even though the situation we were going through. So true worshipers this morning worship with awe. Second one is this, true worshipers worship with abandon. Everybody say abandon. One of my favorite stories is found in the Old Testament about King David. We all know the story of King David. But it's found in 2 Samuel when the Ark of the Covenant finally arrived in the city of David. This is where we're going. So a little backstory on David, if you know it, he led the way in worship. He was like the poster child for worshiping the Lord. And then we have in this story the Ark of the Covenant. And what is the Ark of the Covenant? Simply God resided in that place. So 2 Samuel 6, verse 14 says, "And David danced before the Lord with all his might, wearing a priestly garment." Pastor Steve, you want to come up and dance for me? No, I didn't. Right? King David danced before the Lord with all his might, wearing a priestly garment. So what do we see in this verse? Well, he gave it his all. He gave everything he had to Jesus. He gave everything he had to God when he worshiped. And he didn't care what others thought. And he was simply worshiping God. And here's what I find crazy is that of all the people that were first to criticize King David was who? His wife. Out of all the people first to criticize King David was his wife. Abby, don't criticize me, okay? I'm just kidding. Abby doesn't do that. But it was his wife that criticized him, the person that's supposed to be standing next to his side. And what did she say? Basically, you're humiliating yourself. Why are you doing this? Stop, you look like a fool. You're gonna be the laughingstock of the community. And David responded with this, 2 Samuel 6, verse 21 through 22. David retorted to Michal, "I was dancing before the Lord who chose me above your father and all his family. He appointed me as the leader of Israel, the people of the Lord, so I celebrate before the Lord. Yes, and I am willing to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes." Man, let's just pause right there. David accepts the fact that he's willing to go even to farther lengths than what he's doing now to worship God. He's willing to put other people's perceptions to the side. He's willing to put what his wife thinks of him to the side, what his people think to him to the side, all to worship Jesus. And he states that he's willing to do even more. In other words, I think King David was basically saying, "You think I'm crazy now? Well, you haven't seen anything yet." Is what I think. Because here's why, and we go back to it, because when you know what God has done for you, and when you know who God is, you can't help but give him praise. Oh, it's so true. When you know what God has done for you, when you know personally who God is in your life, when you're not just relying off your spouse's relationship with God, when you're not just relying off your parents' relationship with God, but when you know who God is for you, you can't help but worship him. And some of you in this place may understand that because you've experienced God, you're not the same as you were before. You've experienced his amazing grace, and you're different, you're new, you're his. So as we kind of start to wrap this up, how do true worshipers worship? Number one was we worship with what? Awe, right? And number two, we worship with abandon. And number three is this, we worship with intimacy. Everybody say intimacy. David said this in Psalms chapter 27, verse 4. "One thing I ask from the Lord," and you may have recognized this verse, One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. He's saying this, if I could have just one thing, God, not power, not things, not my kingdom, not money, not a bigger kingdom. If I could have just one thing, one thing I desire, it's intimacy with you, God. Man, what do we need to get to that place where we say, God, all I desire is intimacy with you? What do we need in our life to be able to say that? Because I'll be honest, there's times that I don't want to come up and worship. And that's why I always tell our students, we don't operate on our feelings. We don't operate on our emotions. When you think about this, when you think about worshiping with intimacy and what intimacy is, I think about this. I think of Abby. Abby, can you stand up for everybody? Yeah, look, she has Finley. So everybody, look at my beautiful wife, Abby. Woo! Okay, you can sit down. But when I think about Abby, I think about intimacy. And I think of it in this way. If you asked me, if you came up to me and asked me about Abby, and you said, Pastor Michael, what do you like about Abby? I could go on with a list of things. One, how nice she is. She's the most selfless person I've ever met. She laughs for like the most weirdest things that don't even make sense. She listens very well. She's calm no matter what. So if she ever gets mad, which is really, really rare, she always gets like frustrated because I always say, oh, you're so cute when you're mad. And then she gets even, because like she'll be mad and she'll be like, I'm so mad. Like she'll smile and be happy while she's mad. It's the weirdest thing. It really makes an argument hard to keep going. But Abby likes to talk, so I like that about her. Abby smiles all the time, but most importantly to me, Abby loves God. And I love the fact that Abby wants to be with just me. When we're at home, she wants my focus to be on her. She wants my attention and my every being to be on her. If I like pick up my cell phone just to look at something, she'd be like, babe, put your phone down, be with me. I'm like, I was literally just looking at my phone for 2 seconds. No, just be with me, do it. Right, that's what she's like. But I love it because it makes me want to be with her even more. And then she makes me do things that I don't want to do sometimes. And I like that because it helps me step out of my comfort zone. And then we have this secret like sign language. If you're married and you have like a secret sign language with your wife or husband or a secret word, raise your hand. No one? Oh, guys, if you don't, you have to get one. It's the best thing in the world. So like for me, I joke all the time. Like 99% of my life is joking around. So Abby and I have a real word when we're being serious because she never knows when I'm being serious, and it's pineapple. I don't know where it came from, but it's called pineapple. So I'll be saying something and I'll try to pull her leg. And we made a pact like when we got married, if we say pineapple, and we only can say it if we're being 100% honest. So, and I've tried doing it, like, and I can't keep a straight face when I try to lie about it, which I'll like be like, hey, guess what happened, this, and I'll try to make up some random story, and she'll be like, pineapple? I'll be like, pineapple, I can't, you know? So we have this own secret language, or maybe you know, like, you know the look to give your wife or your husband when you want to leave a party, or like, leave an outing. Or like, for me, I'll be like, if Abby's talking too long to someone, no, I'm not going to tell you that, because if that happens here, I don't want you to know what my thing is. But, we have our secret thing. We know each other inside and out. And simply intimacy is this. I love Abby. I'm scoring so many brownie points right now. It's not even funny. But I know her because I have an intimate relationship with her. I know her because I spend time with her. I don't have to stalk her on social media just to know things about her or know how her day is going. And this is what I know that God wants from us. God just doesn't want us to know facts about him. God just doesn't want us to be able to say, oh, I read through the Bible 3 times this year. But God desires an intimate relationship with him through time spent in prayer and reading his word and worship. That's what God desires. He desires intimacy with each and every one of us. And that's what I want for LifePoint students. That's what I want for LifePoint Church. And I envision our church so passionate to worship, and I challenge our students to arrive early. We don't have worship right now during our youth services, but we're setting up intentional things to have worship time during our services in the next month and a half. And but I envision our students so passionate that they come to youth early because they're so excited to experience the presence of Jesus. My desire in prayer is that we spend more time in prayer. That we don't just spend our 10 minutes on a Sunday morning praying, or we wait till monthly prayer comes along in the North Sanctuary, but that we spend more time in prayer. My desire is that we become a church, leaders, adults, students, who are hearing from God during the week, not just on Sunday morning. But even when your tank starts to run a little bit low on Friday, you're hearing from God. My prayer and desire is that we can see God working in our lives. My ultimate desire is that we become a church that's more passionate than we already are with our expressions of Jesus. So as we wrap this up, if the worship team can come on up, please. Psalms 141, verses 1 through 2 says this in the New Living Translation. O Lord, I'm calling to you. Please hurry. Listen when I cry to you for help. Accept my prayer as incense offered to you, and my upraised hands as an evening offering. As we start to wrap this up, I just have a few quotes that kind of speak out to me from worship, and then we're going to do something as a church. But A.W. Tozer, if you know who he is, says this: I can safely say on the authority of all that is revealed in the Word of God that any man or woman on this earth who is bored and turned off by worship is not ready for heaven. That's intense. Any man or woman who is turned off by the thought of worship or is bored by worship is not ready for heaven. Which is crazy to think, because heaven is our ultimate goal. Heaven is what we're running to. And if we're not ready and if we're not willing to worship, then we're not ready for heaven. Craig Groeschel says this: but just as your body needs sleep, your soul needs time to rest in God, to learn more about him, to talk to him, to worship and praise him, to fellowship with other brothers and sisters. Man, our Sunday morning worship times are a time we can come together and put our worries to the side and focus on the goodness and greatness of God with all our believers here together. We're not alone. John Piper says, from your heroes, you pick up mannerisms and phrases and tones of voice and facial expressions and habits and demeanors and convictions and beliefs. The more admirable the hero is and the more intense your admiration is, the more profound will be your transformation. In the case of Jesus, he is infinitely admirable, and our admiration rises to the most absolute worship. Therefore, when we behold him as we should, the change is profound. And lastly, can we just stand this morning as we kind of wrap this up? This one kind of ties in with what A.W. Tozer said, but it's from Matt Chandler. If someone doesn't have much use for praising God now, it's foolish to think they're ready for heaven. Man, my desire for us is to worship God as a true worshiper in awe, with abandon, and with intimacy. So this morning, I want to challenge you. I challenge our students every Wednesday to put action behind decisions that they make. And I always tell them, when we do have times of worship, not to look to their left or not to look at their right, because when you get to heaven, those people aren't going to be standing next to you. So what I want to do is this. Trish, if you could just flip the lights for me, please. It may be something different that you're not used to. It may be something that may feel awkward. And if it is, that's okay. You can stay where you're at and respond there. But I want to do this. If you're comfortable this morning, we're going to enter back in just to a time of worship, and we're going to put to practice what we heard this morning. So I want to challenge you, again, if you're comfortable, can we just come up to the front? And we're going to worship Jesus just right up to the front as a congregation this morning, if you're comfortable. But what I want to do is this. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to what has been spoken. Maybe you're in this place and you haven't been worshiping the way that you should be worshiping. Maybe you know that you should be going after the presence of God even more. I'm going to challenge you this morning. Do something you've never done before in your worship. And it's not about lifting our hands. It's not about swaying back and forth. It's not about singing as loud as we can. Those are all just expressions of our worship. But with that, man, when we lift our hands to Jesus, what is that? I tell our students, it's the international sign of surrender, right? If someone's holding a gun to you, what do? You put your hands up. So this morning, as we lift our hands up to God, it's our sign of surrender, saying, Jesus, I give you everything. God, I've come to worship you. So I just want to pray, and the first thing I want to do is this. I'm going to ask a question, and if you want to respond, great, and then we're going to go into a time of worship. But if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, first off, that's you, no one's looking around, eyes are closed. If that's you and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, just go ahead and slip your hand up in the air. Okay. Next thing is this, our time's coming where we're going to respond. But if you would say, man, I'm desiring to go deeper in my worship with God and my expression of worship with Jesus on Sunday mornings and throughout the week. I don't want to stay where I'm at, but I want to continually be stepping into something new with the presence of Jesus, just like the song that we sang a few minutes ago. I just want to be where you are, God. Man, that's my prayer. I don't want to move without him. I don't want to speak without him. I don't want to sing without him. I simply desire the presence and the anointing of Jesus, because I know it's true that when the anointing and the presence of God shows up, it changes everything. Because when we sing, it's just a song. But when the presence of God shows up, it changes everything.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.